Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They are the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 17th to the 19th, 2019 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by The Wargaming Company. Wish you could play a great Napoleonic's wargame that's different from the same old stuff? Try ESR. ESR makes Napoleonic's accessible, a complete system with you as a core commander. Start an army with ESR box sets or use your existing collection. It's meaty enough for diehards, but friendly for newcomers. Visit thewargamingcompany.com. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. Today, we are going to be talking about a brand new gaming mat from a new company called Killing Fields Terrain. I am referring to their classic Grasslands gaming mat. If in addition to being a podcast listener, you also watch some of the videos we release on YouTube or on Facebook, you're able to see right behind me is the mat. It's hanging up, and we're going to be getting to it momentarily. But for all those of you on video, ta-da! So let's just back up a moment. I want to welcome all of you, whether you are new or longtime listeners alike, and I think you're really going to enjoy this episode because it's been a while since we've talked about a gaming mat. And I think that if you're just starting out in the hobby and you're looking for a way to get some terrain down on your table to make the table look better and to also add extra playability without spending a fortune on different buildings and different forests and hills and all that kind of stuff and all sorts of different scales, that the easiest and most affordable way to do it is to buy a gaming mat such as the Killing Fields mat. This one we were able to get given to us to review from the Wargaming Company, who is also a sponsor of the show. So I want to say thank you to the Wargaming Company for sending us this review copy. And I also want to say thank you to Killing Fields Terrain for making the mat. You're probably noticing a few things. First of all, I'm not joined by my buddy and co-host, Adrian Benson. He'll be back next time where we'll talk about all sorts of stuff, but we're going to get his opinion on this mat as well. And also, you might want a little bit of a backstory about Killing Field Terrain. So right after my youngest child was born, I happened to be online feeding the baby. And I was like, what is this Killing Fields Terrain? And their stuff looks amazing. So I reached out to them and I thought, hey, it'd be kind of neat if we could review this mat, because any of you who've been listening to the show for a while know that I love a good gaming mat. And turns out that the owner of Killing Field is also a wargamer dad who has two kids of their own and, of course, a full-time job, and they're trying to make a go of this. And they were all into doing some sort of work with us to get us a review copy, to get us to do stuff. And then as time progressed, one thing after another, we just kind of life became busy. And so it didn't work out to get it directly from them. But lo and behold, simultaneously, the Wargaming Company was also working with them to become a distributor of Killing Field Terrain mats for North America, I believe. and they were able to quickly ship this mat to us. Now, you might wonder, what makes this mat special? Okay, so officially, it measures about 5 by 7 feet. Mine, these aren't exact measurements, but mine looks like they're roughly 6 feet by 4 feet, 10 inches, 4 feet, 11 inches, maybe somewhere around there. They do guarantee a minimum size on the website. And this mat is a teddy bear fur mat. If you're anything like me, you're thinking teddy bear fur. I can just make that myself. Like, why would I buy one of these? And I'll tell you, the first time I heard that it was teddy bear fur, I was like, oh, teddy bear fur, kind of nice, but also I've only ever seen people make them. And I honestly wasn't too impressed with the stuff that people had made. Like, they were okay, but they seemed like a lot of work to get them done. The aesthetics maybe weren't as amazing as they could be. And they just seemed like a lot of faults, like either the fur was way too long or they would trim it and it would be way too short. Like, there was no way that it actually fit a variety of scales or time periods or whatever the needs were of these other gamers. And I thought, uh-oh, that's a problem. Well, lo and behold, through all the traveling of time and everything, Adrian and I were at Huzzah this year in 2019. And there was a game being played on this gorgeous mat, this simply beautiful mat, where it looked so realistic and kept looking at it and going back to it and be like, what is it with this mat? And taking pictures and then sharing some of the pictures online, found out that it is a Killing Field Terrain teddy bear fur mat, the classic mat. And I was just floored because I had never seen a teddy bear fur mat look so good in my life. And I was like, where did you get this and how did this go? And it turned out Killing Field, the same company I've been talking with. And I was like, whoa, mind blown. What the heck is going on here? So, of course, I had to talk with Killing Field some more. And then brings us to now. I've never seen a teddy bear fur mat like this at all. So let's kind of run down through some of the just kind of basic information about the teddy bear fur mat. So you can get it from Wargaming Company, and I would highly recommend that you do because they charge less than if you get it from the distributor, from the creator themselves. So you can pay $60 for the mat, which I believe is the cheapest price you'll get for a mat of this size anywhere in the market. You will be able to get it in roughly 5 feet by 7 feet. It is a standard Battlefield Grasslands tone. And basically, they dye these mats, right? And you kind of get a variety of tones of color so that it makes it look more realistic. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever seen mats done by anyone else, people making them at home on their own or whatever, something looks a little off on them. Now, the ones that I've seen, they've taken the teddy bear fur and they try to do a green. And no matter what happens, it ends up being splotchy in parts. Other parts are a little too cartoony. Something just doesn't seem right. Like, it's okay, but it's slightly off. And you figure, well, the person made it themselves. It was a really good try. They put a lot of effort in. So, sure, I'm not going to say a thing. But you get none of that with the Killing Fields mat here. This looks professionally made. It looks incredible. And it looks realistic. So there's actually quite a few pictures. I would suggest going to the Killing Fields Terrain Facebook group, Facebook page rather, or head on over to the Wargaming Company's website. They have a bunch of pictures there that are so realistic looking. You really wonder what they're using for a terrain. It turns out they're using a Killing Field Terrain mat. And it's just, it's amazing that they are using these things. When you get one of them, if you buy one, and I suggest you do, but it comes in a bag. And you might know my fascination with packaging, right? I tend to kind of get lost in the weeds when I talk about boxes and bags and how things are packaged and what they look like and the branding of stuff and everything. It's something about which I'm passionate, and I know for a lot of you it's not. So if you're not just kind of like I don't know, hum for a minute or so. But for the rest of you, it's going to be noisy for a moment while I grab the bag. So you're going to hear a little crinkle, crinkle, crinkle. But it's mainly because I want to have it here so I can refer to it more directly for all of you. And also, if you happen to be watching the video that's on YouTube and elsewhere, you'll be able to see what it looks like. And we'll have pictures of it also on our Facebook page as well. Crinkle, crinkle, crinkle. So Matt comes in a big, basically Ziploc bag. And on the back, it's kind of like a food saver bag. It has a port that you unscrew and it's vacuum sealed. And with this, like, you could have used like an actual vacuum kind of thing to mechanically vacuum it. Or you can do it yourself. So you fold up the mat, you put it in, you seal it, and you go seal. And then you unscrew the thing in the back. And you push down on the mat to really try to get as much of the air out as you can. When you're done, you screw it all up. And you'll find that you lose about a third of volume, maybe even half of the volume. So when this came, it came in this bag, of course. But then it also came in a big box. And I was like, this is a huge box. And these boxes are really long, but relatively shallow. And it turns out that the Woodgaming Company has them because they can fit up to three of these mats in one box. So if you and a couple of your buddies or your local game store or a club wanted to get them, you're not going to worry about there being like tons of shipping costs involved. But more importantly, because you can fit so many together, they're going to take up less room in your home. And I know, like many of us, we don't have a lot of space to put our gaming stuff into, right? You're always trying to find a way to fit more in, or maybe we have a smaller home or a flat, or maybe there's not a lot of storage. And that's one reason a lot of people go down a scale, right? So instead of playing 28 mil games, maybe you go to 15, or maybe you go to 10s or 6s. Small scale gaming is very popular right now for a variety of reasons, one of which, of course, is cost. But other is space. No one has space for stuff anymore. But you don't need to worry about that with the Killing Field mat, because when you're all done, you fold it up, you put it in the bag, crinkle, 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 and you get the air out and it depresses so that you basically save like half or a third of volume. So you can fit more stuff in that space. The bag will keep it nice and safe. It has branding on it with a little bit of information from the Wargaming Company with their website and just information about stuff. Let's pretend that you're spending the $60, you're buying the mat, and then it comes and you're like, now what do I do? I got this mat, and honestly, it's not looking really like anything like the pictures. And I tell you, when I got mine, I was like, oh, that's what it looks like. It's so flat. And it's kind of like not dynamic. You could tell there was variation in color, but it didn't look like three-tone to me. And I thought, is it my lighting? Is something wrong? Like, what's going on here? Well, it turns out that if you get the mat directly from Killing Fields, they send you a little PDF on things that you should do when you get the mat and how you should handle basically care and use of it. And for whatever reason, it didn't come through to me. And I don't know if it's that maybe the Wargaming Company doesn't have these PDFs or what the case happens to be. But I actually got in touch with Killing Fields to tell them how we had the mat and just talking about it a little bit. And the owner said, okay, we're going to send you these instructions that we have. It's a PDF. And I will check with Killing Fields to make sure it's allowed. But if it's allowed, we'll put them in the show notes to this episode. And we'll also put them on social media for all of you to get. It's called Step Up Your Terrain Game on the first page. And there's two steps, basically, for preparing your Killing Fields battle mat for action. The first one is, of course, remove it from the vacuum seal packaging, unfold it onto a flat surface, your table, your floor, anywhere that's nice and flat. We have ours hanging up on a rig that we will be using so we can have backgrounds and green screen and all that kind of stuff for things. But then they say to step two gently rake through the entire mat with a comb of your fingers. Go against the flow of fabric. This will bring the mat to life from its original packed down shipping state. Aha. Now that explains a lot, right? Because when it's shipped, no one's breathed life into it, as it were. It's there. It's been smushed down in the vacuum sealed bag. It's been shipped here and there and traveled all over the place until it eventually got to your home. And it needs you to fluff it up, to bring it to life, to activate the magic within. And I'm a fan of a lot of YouTube channels where they show terrain making and all sorts of things. And there's one channel that I like that does a lot of terrain work for model railroading. And the individual who does that uses a lot of static grass. Now, this is not made out of static grass. It is teddy bear fur. But the reason I'm talking about static grass is when they put the static grass in, they tend to use two hair blow dryers, basically to kind of get stuff out of the way and to vacuum up. And I was like, oh, well, that'd be interesting. So if there was any loose fur or whatever, you could vacuum up. But then I also came across an episode. I'm a huge fan of the Mythbusters. And although that show's not on the air anymore, Adam Savage, one of the hosts of that show, has his own YouTube channel called Tested. And in one of the episodes, he went and hung out with one of the puppet, the actually head puppet designer for Avenue Q. Look it up unless you're not of legal age, in which case don't look it up. But it's basically Sesame Street for grown-ups. And when Adam Savage was there in this workshop, they made a puppet for him. And so there was fur that he was using for his puppet. And again, like the Killing Fields battle mat, when you first get it, it was kind of smushed down and lifeless. And the head puppet creator in the workshop also took two hair blow dryers, angled them down nice and close to the fur, and going against each other, had it on a setting so that it basically, as you kind of waft it back and forth, it brought it to life. So it helped it spring up and give it body, kind of like when you wash your hair, right? And you put some shampoo in, you put conditioner, you let it sit, and then you scrub and you rub your hands through, and then your hair gets a lot more volume than it used to have, which is why when I haven't had my hair cut for a while and I come out of the shower after, washing and conditioning my hair and everything, I look like I got a gigantic puffball on my head because my hair goes crazy. That's the kind of effect you want to get with your Killing Fields mat, or if you're making puppets and they have some sort of fur, what do you want to do with those as well? So you could use the blow dryer method on that, and that would help bring the Killing Fields mat to life. You can use a brush and work your way through, or as David, owner of the Wargaming Company, told me, he just uses his hands, which is something else you can do. Just go against the flow and go rush, and work your way through the whole mat, and that'll kind of make it spring to life. Now, even with that, you can customize the mat yourself if you feel so comfortable. Now, they are not sold this way, but if you want, you could add roads or some elevation. You could just do that by shaving into it. You can use like electric pet shavers, or if you're someone who shaves your face or your legs, you could use an electric razor for that. You might find also that maybe you want to remove a portion of the mat. Maybe you need it to be circular. You're fitting it into a certain area. So you want a half moon or something. Take a nice sharp hobby knife, cut into the mat and go around. The back of the mat is this like cotton backing. For anyone who does sewing or anything like that, you'll be familiar with it. The back is very scratchy and gets caught on things and itchy. So if you're someone like me who likes to take soft things, and this is incredibly soft, and wrap yourself up in them and pretend they're a blankie or they're a cape, as I've done with some other mats, make sure the fur side is to your skin, because I did it the other way and I was like, oh, this is rough. That's awful. I don't like that at all. I can't be a Killing Fields terrain battle mat superhero. But you can just turn it around. With the cotton backing means you can cut through it easily enough if you need to. So you can kind of cut it to shapes and sizes. Since it is of these dimensions and the edges are all the same, there's no other designs built in. Unless you shave a road in or something like that, you can buy other mats so that you can extend the size of your tabletop. Let's say you're playing at a con. You have a 40-foot table that you're filling. you can buy a bunch of these and put them on there and get that going without a problem. You can cut, you can shave in, and you might also know that when you place your miniatures in, because the mat is teddy bear fur and it's slightly long in throat, depending on the height varies a little bit, it might not always look as great with certain scales of miniatures, right? Because that throws the scale of this off, which is your ground and your grass and all that kind of stuff. So if you're doing a smaller scale, you might want to trim it down a little bit. If you're doing a larger scale, you have to take that into account. It's going to just change what the ground's like. But also, depending on the scale of your models, they might not sit flat on the mat. It's something that the manufacturer says in the instructions. You don't have to be worried about it. They tell you, you know, there's ways to get around it. You can weigh the bottoms of the bases if you want. You can kind of wedge them in or whatever. Or if you're like me, you could say, okay, they fell over, but that's fine. They're still there. So that's just kind of a thing to be cautious about. But really, it's a minor thing when you consider how soft the mat is, how dynamic it looks, how lifelike it looks, the pricing of it. It's just, it's a really great price here for this product. And then also, a few other things to just kind of be mindful of. When I opened mine, they had a very strong smell of vinegar. And I don't know if that's an agent that they use to kind of set the adhesives or get things to stick together or whatever. If that bothers you, that smell, make sure you open the bag in a well-ventilated area and let it just kind of hang out for a few days. Overnight probably would be fine, but if you really sensitive for a little bit longer, that smell will go away. It doesn't linger after. I noticed the smell and I was like, oh man, what is that smell? It was just like, it was like pungent. And I thought, oh, I don't like that at all either. But then I was like, it's not going to last, right? So like I left it out. I kept it out of the bag. I just left it in another room. And then I think I didn't even check on it for like a day or two and the smell was gone. But I'm guessing the smell would be gone even overnight. So you just leave it, go to bed, wake up in the morning, it'd be perfectly fine, is what I'm presuming. But really, give it a couple days if you're extra sensitive to it, and then you're golden. And then the other thing is, my mat has a hole in it. I'm not saying every mat will have a hole. It's one of those things that is just bound to happen no matter when you buy a product. You might get some damage. You might get something that's not printed properly. You might get something that isn't cut right or whatever. Things happen, but it's how companies deal with that that matters. So I actually spoke with David of the Wargaming Company because I said, you know, let's find out how they would handle this. Yeah, we got this as a review thing for free. And I'm not going to be like, hey, David, yes, take it back, because whatever. The whole, for me, like I'm looking when I'm covering these kind of things, I'm looking for any fault, anything that is reasonable to critique and mention as an error. But it doesn't inhibit my gameplay. And unless you go looking for it in my mat, you're not going to find the hole. You really won't. But let's say you buy a mat and it has a problem with it. What is going to happen? And what will you do? And how will they deal with it? So I spoke with David, as I said. And he said, and I'm going to quote him here, quote, specific to your experienced issue, i.e. hole in the mat. He says, quote, we'd offer to replace the mat. Similarly, if you received a book with a defect, such as a misprinted page or something similar, we'd offer to replace the book. Generally speaking, we do not ask for a return of the defective product, though it depends a little on which product and whether the original manufacturer OEM needs it back to help chase down the problem. We commonly ask for photos so that we can provide them back to the OEM for them to understand the failure and how to fix it. And that's basically what he's saying. So let's say you get a mat. Let's say it happens to have a problem with it. They might ask you to take a photo. Most of us have smartphones nowadays. If not, if you don't have a smartphone, it doesn't have to be an iPhone, but any smartphone, Google phone, Windows phone, whatever. Any of the droids and stuff. Use a regular camera, take a picture, send it to them, get in touch with the Wargaming Company. They'll make it right for you. The customer service is amazing. David's a fantastic individual, very smart, knows what he's doing. They'll fix it, and you'll be none the worse for wear. It'll be great. And every company should honestly treat it that way. Will you end up with a mat that has a defect? I'm going to say 9.9 times out of 10, no, which is to say, no, you're not going to have it. But just in case you do, just get in touch with them. It's not a problem. And if you get it direct from Killing Fields, reach out to them. Now, I don't know what their specific process is for dealing with problems with the product. But they've been very responsive with any questions that I've had. They've been helpful for all sorts of stuff. They have a website you can check out. You can go to their Facebook page, which is really useful. Go to Killing Fields Terrain and just see what's going on there and tell them what your experience is and what the problem is, if there's a problem. If you got the mat and you love it, tell them. Get in touch with Killing Fields Terrain. Get in touch with the Wargaming Company or wherever you bought the mat from and say, hey, this is a great mat. I love this mat. Because they need to know. For me, bottom line is, this is a good mat. It's very, very soft, which shouldn't matter, right? Because you're not going to snuggle with it. Well, I will. But you probably won't snuggle with it. It's very nice. It's very dynamic. It makes your tabletop look alive. It adds extra depth to it. That's one of the great things about teddy bear fur, because it is so long, which I know not everyone likes, but because it's so long, you get extra 3D-ness out of your tabletop. So your flat 2D surface has more life and volume into it, helps you elevate it. It's large enough so that, like some other mats, you can place stuff underneath, whether they're books or rolled up t-shirts or whatever, towels, to provide elevation. You can get some variation going on there. For $60 American, plus shipping, of course, unless you spend, I think it's $200. If you buy $200 worth of stuff from the Wargaming Company, you get free shipping. I believe that's what it is. But otherwise, you pay a little bit of shipping and then $60 for the mat. You put it on your table, put your minis on, and you're good to go. It's a great size. It's lightweight, easy to carry. It's not going to take up a lot of space in your luggage if you go to a con. Not going to take up a lot of space in your home. It's a win-win-win. It's a great design. It looks beautiful. Right now, they only have the classic mats in this design. So if you want different colors, or you're looking for something like desert or, I don't know, alien worlds, or you're looking for space or sea mats or whatever, and that kind of stuff, that's not what they're doing. Not now, anyway. They will have a new mat coming out, and it's only available for pre-order right now, and Killing Fields is going to send us They want to send us a whole mat to review of their new one, but unfortunately, they don't have a whole mat to send because everything's going for the pre-orders. But they do have a smaller sample section, I think like a 2-foot section that they're going to try to send us. But it's a static grass game mat, which looks absolutely amazing. It, even 10 times better than these classic mats. And they're going to be selling for $75 on the Wargaming Company, their pre-order. And just, man, they look so, so, so good. And I'm even more excited about those. So when we get one of the static grass game mats from Killing Fields Terrain, designed by Killing Fields Terrain, when we get one of those, we'll talk about it on the show as well. But the classic mat, you can't go wrong. It goes great with ESR, of course. And we actually know some people who have bought these to use with ESR and bought a bunch of ESR stuff to play. And just kind of got sucked into all of that. And that's not a bad thing to happen, really. So we would suggest you check out Killing Fields Terrain, check out the Wargaming Company, and check out these Killing Fields Terrain mats. Like I said, $60 American plus shipping gets you a really good surface to use. It's very soft, which shouldn't matter, but it does. It comes in a great bag, which is durable, take up less space, and just it's going to make your games come to life. And, you know, you could play on just felt, you could play on a bare tabletop, kitchen table or whatever. But a lot of the reason why we do stuff like this, right, while we buy the gaming mats, or we buy the terrain, or make the hills and make the forest and everything, is so that we can have that aesthetic. And this gives it to you. It's beautiful. It's well made. It's a great size. You won't regret spending the money. So check them out. And if you get anything from either place, direct from Killing Field Terrain or from the Wargaming Company, please tell them that we sent you, that you went because of hearing about them on the show. And once again, we want to thank Wargaming Company and Killing Field Terrain for making the product and for giving us this review copy to cover on the show. So let's change gears a little bit. We've been talking a lot about the game mat, right? What about stuff that you can put on the game mat? Last time we talked about this new segment we're doing, where we talk about MDF terrain, where we talk about specific kits, where we talk about tips and tricks and a variety of things like that. And we said, we need a name. So we were referring to it as MDF Corner. And during our chat, Adrian and I said, hey, you know, let's do a poll. Let's find out what people want. So we did the poll. We did the poll on Twitter and on Facebook. Got a lot of responses. Some people loved MDF Corner. Some people wanted other options. We're not going to tell you what we picked because, well, Adrian's not here. So we're going to wait until he's here for, I believe, the next episode. And he and I will discuss the poll and what was done there and what name we end up going with. But we have that segment again, which I'm going to refer to as MDF Corner just for the time being. It is sponsored by Things from the Basement. So check out thingsfromthebasement.com. They make really great MDF kits. They make kits made out of other stuff too. But I think people just know best to refer to it as MDF, even if it's like HDF or corrugated cardboard or whatever else. So I want to talk about a couple things. I had done a poll because I like polls. So I had done a poll on what I should work on next after I finish this Yamashiro Mountain Fort Feudal Japanese. Well, that's a mouthful. Feudal Japanese Yamashiro Mountain Fort wall set that I'm making for it. And the choices were between this big AC unit for the industrial lineup that Things from the Basement has, or for the commander's house for the Yamashiro Mountain Fort. And overwhelmingly, people wanted the commander's house for the Yamashiro Mountain Fort. I said, okay, sure, we'll do that. Not a problem. But while I was thinking that and the poll was going on, I happened to be looking at the big AC, and I was like, this would be really quick to knock out, to get it assembled. I could paint it. It'd be a little different. So it'd be kind of fun. So I did. And I want to talk about my experience with it. So you can get this kit, and it is actually a great accessory if you buy factory number one, which we will be talking about on a future episode of the show because I haven't built it yet. But after I build it, I promise you it'll be in a whatever the name will be, MDF Corner segment at some point. And so we'll be covering it then and talking about it. And there's a whole lineup of industrial kits that work really well, or I think work really well, with this factory number one. You can also use it with other stuff. They do a modular factory, or if you have things of your own, you could use them with that. But this big AC would be great to kind of sit on top of the building. And it's basically a box that sits on a little base, and it has two round openings for exhaust vent kind of things. And so we paint assembled pretty easily, and it painted pretty quickly. And I detailed on social media how I painted it. But there's a technique that I wanted to talk about because I thought it'd be pretty neat to use and really easy. And one I'm sure maybe a group of you use. But to add a little bit of texture to it, because a thing like this, because it's a box, really, it can be boring. Even though it has detail in the front, this is very well made. And it's a nice accent piece to any building that you do. Texturally, it's flat, right? So how do you make it more interesting? And one thing I did was when I was painting it, I got a foam brush. And if you're watching the video, you can actually see the paint still on the foam brush. And I dabbed while the paint was still wet. So for you, all of you audios, that's the sound of me dabbing. So I dabbed it. And that gave just light little bit of bumpiness. Because if you think about it, a thing like this was probably made out of concrete, maybe for a nice concrete box, and they'd have all like the HVAC tubing and stuff inside to go through and everything with the exhaust fans and everything. And concrete's a little rough. It's bumpy. It's very textured. So I wanted to do some sort of texturing, and I thought the foam brush would be nice. I have a variety of things that I can use to do texture. I get this, I got sponges, I got sea sponges and all that kind of stuff. So I can really do whatever, face cloths and towels. You know, it's kind of like being a Foley artist, but for texture, as it were. And I don't compare to someone like Tony Rieger or the people over at Iron Hammer by any stretch of the imagination. I'm sure they do a lot more and much better than I do, but it was something. So I did it all over, tap, 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 tap. And I was like, that's pretty cool. So I did the base coat that way. I did the next coat. I did inking and I did that. And it also kind of created some nice blending so that by the time I was done, I had painted the whole thing. I used a combination of Citadel paints. I used a Vallejo wash. Army Painter wash, which I'll talk about in a moment. And I also used some of the newish, Citadel technical paints, Riser Rust and Typhus Corrosion, to kind of make it look like there was, I don't know, like oil spills and it got rusty or whatever, and do all that. And meanwhile, I used the foam brush to dab, 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 dab. And I think it really helped to blend it together and make a really nice piece. I'm very proud of it. And the Things in the Basement kit is really nice. Their stuff is beautiful. But at the end of the day, an AC is an AC, right? It's not the world's most interesting thing you'll ever make. And I feel like using this kind of setup, where you use a technique with a foam brush and just some dab, 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 is a quick, easy, and simple way to take any piece of terrain that you're working on, but especially MDF, and bump it up a level, make it a little more interesting, make it a little more dynamic, breathe a little more life into it, so that when you put it on the tabletop, when you put it on top of your Killing Field terrain battle mat, it just makes everything look better, more cohesive, more vibrant, and maybe make those looking at your game say, I want to play in that. I want to take pictures of that. I want to be part of that. So I think it's a technique worth trying. And I mentioned I want to talk a little bit about the Army Painter Quick Shade. So I love the Citadel washes. And unfortunately, when they came with a new line of paints, lost track of how many years ago, they got rid of them. Things like Bedab Black, and it's not Denim, Devlin Mud, and just like a bunch of them. The new ones that came out with really aren't close matches. But it turns out, through some research I've done, Army Painter Quick Shade, strong tone, is almost an exact identical match, almost, for Devlin Mud. And then they have a dark tone, which is basically a match for Bada Black. And I was like, we're going to try this. So I use this on the big AC. And I got to tell you, I think it's a match. I really do. I'm very happy with the results. It flowed really well. I just put it in, you know, like a little paint palette, and I put it on with a brush and did a thing that treated it the same way you would with any other wash. And I know a lot of you like to make your own, you use Future Floor Wax or Minwax or whatever, and you add your inks in and you do all that kind of stuff, or make lasers and things like that. And that's fantastic. I applaud you, really. But for the rest of us who don't have the time or the skills or the ability or the desire, because maybe you're still in your hobby slump like we talked about last episode, you might not want to be making glazes or washers or inks or any of that kind of stuff. Buy strong tone. So go to your local game store, see if they have it, get it there. If not, we'll have a link in our show notes and also on social media to Amazon, where I ended up having to get this, and you can get it at a pretty decent rate. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you get it at a discount. So you get free shipping or whatever, all that kind of stuff included with your Prime membership. But go to your local game store first, honestly. Just check there first, see if they have it. If they do, get it. And if they have that, they probably have other stuff you want to. So just go there and get the stuff that you want, that you need, and do that. You'll be happy. Local game store will be happy. The local game community will be happy. So do that. If that's not an option for whatever reason, you don't have one nearby, it's not friendly, whatever. We talked about that way back and like five reasons to not shop at your friendly local game store. And one of them was it's not friendly or it's not local. So if there's a reason to not go to your friendly local game store, go to Amazon or your favorite online vendor or mail order or whatever and get it there. Now, since we're still in the MDF segment here on the show, MDF Corner, whatever we're going to call it, we need a name. We'll get one. But since we're still talking about this, I want to talk about another MDF kit. And I want to warn you to not make a mistake that I made. So this is another tip and trick that we're going to be talking about. I've been working on the Yamashiro Mountain Fort wall set. And I thought, okay, you know, this looks pretty straightforward. It's walls. It shouldn't be too bad. I'll assemble it all. Just get it going. And then I'll be motivated to continue because this was something I had done when I was in my slump. And I was like, I'm going to break out of my slump. This is what I'm going to do. Rah, rah, rah. Yay, me. So I did it. And I assembled it. And then I started painting it. And I was painting all the wood parts. So I painted the roof. And then I started painting the posts. And then I realized I had the posts and the way it's designed to actually paint them, they're pretty close to the flat parts, which are like plastery kind of stuff or stone or whatever. And that it would be almost impossible to paint it well without making a mess, at least for me, because I'm kind of sloppy. And I was aggravated and annoyed. I said, oh, what am I going to do? I'm taking too much time on this. And I just was like, I don't want to paint the whole thing with a tiny, tiny detail brush. And that's what I've been doing. I finally got all the wood parts base coated. So they'll need to be inked. They need to be dry brushed. But I was like, what should I do? Well, silly, silly me didn't even entertain the idea of painting these before assembly. So I talked with the owner, Jorg Bender, of Things for the Basement. He's the fine gentleman who created and designed this kit. And I said, Jorg, what do you do? Because I want to gouge my eyes out. I'm really frustrated. I'm very annoyed. What do I do? Please help me, Jorg. And Jorg said, well, why don't you just spray paint it brown before you build it? And I was like, what? You tell me that now? And I thought, oh, wait, genius. And of course, too late for me because I had already primed it black and I already started to paint other stuff. But if you buy this kit, paint it before you assemble it. Now, sometimes I do that with MDF kits and sometimes I don't. I try to judge what I think is best. And in this case, I made the mistake. I should have painted first and then assembled it. That's on me. But you don't have to go through my anguish here. If you buy it, and I suggest you do, because it's a really nice kit. It's very well detailed, beautifully made, easy to assemble. Paint first, then assemble. And as Jorg said, you can spray paint it. So even while it's on the sprue, all the wood parts, just sprint them, spray paint them brown. Sprint them. I'm going to make that a new word. Sprint to spray paint. Sprint them brown. There we go. Next up on the show, sprinting. How do you spray paint? No. So spray paint them brown. And you save yourself a lot of trouble. And then you can do all the other stuff pretty easily. So I have moved on. I'm doing all the like wall segments, not just the plaster. Two coats of a yellow. I'm going to go over it. And I'm working my way to get all of the wall segments with the yellow painted on. I have all the corner pieces done. And all the small short wall segments, which are four of them. But then I have eight double wall segments to do that too. So it's going to take a while to get through this. But it's okay if I had thought in advance and realized paint, then assemble. I probably would have been done by now. So if you are working on this, time's of the essence, and you want to get it done so it looks nice and you don't make a mistake like I did, paint it first, then assemble. And as Jorg told me, what he likes to do with all of his kits is he we'll paint them all first, or if it's something large enough that it makes sense to do sub-assemblies, like to you do a building, you do the roof first, or you do one floor of the building, or whatever. Do that as a sub-assembly. Paint it completely, and then finish adding it to the rest of the building, or structure, or whatever you're making. In this case, the wall, paint it first, because it's not really sub-assemblies. Each little thing is its own sub-assembly. But paint the whole thing first, then build it, and you'll be much, much happier. And I'll tell you, if I had done that, I would be much, much happier too. Well, I think that's just about all that we have here for this episode of the show. I can definitely tell you that we have some cool stuff coming up for next time. We're going to be talking about some other gaming products, and I don't want to tell you what they are just yet, but I do believe we'll talk about the Dark Tone Army Painter shade. Talk a little bit more about MDF kits, tips and tricks from the MDF segment. We'll have Adrian giving us his thoughts on the Killing Field terrain mat. And we're going to review another gaming product, something really big, something new, and something that's on Kickstarter. So you can be sure to find that on the next episode of the show. We also have a little bit of news about the team here that'll be appearing on that episode as well. So some cool stuff going on, and that's what we got for you. Know that you can find us on all the things as Wargaming Recon, all the social media stuff. We're Wargaming Recon, whether it's Facebook or it's Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Snapchat, we're on like everything, but really Twitter to some degree. And Facebook is where we are. We have the Facebook page, and there's a Wargaming Recon Facebook group there. I do want to say, if you listen to the show and you're like what we do, please be sure to like our Facebook page. We're trying to get to 2,000 likes. And when that happens, we're going to do a really big giveaway where we're going to give away some things from the basement kits. And I believe we're also giving away a model box, for people. And right now, as of the time of me recording this, and I just want to double check and make sure I get the numbers correct, we're up to 1,813 likes, so we want to get to 2,000. So be sure that you like us. WargamingRecon.com/Facebook will bring you right to our Facebook page, so make sure that you like it. Share it with your friends to get them to like it as well. We're trying to put content up there every day, just about every day, so you'll see stuff there. And it's a cool way to kind of keep up to date with what we're doing here. And we also have the Wargaming Recon fan group, which is just kind of a fun place to hang out, and we're trying to get a moderator for that, or one or more, actually, just to kind of, not that, I don't want to seem like it's a Wild West, because it's not, but we just really want it to be a place where people can chill, where they feel like they can hang out and interact with one another. So we're looking for, if any of you are interested, someone to maybe kind of introduce content there, cool things that you've seen, to try to get people talking and hanging out and chatting. I'm trying to grow that group as well. And I'm trying to remember how many people we're up to now. I think we're up to 97 members there. So it'd be great if we can at least break 100 on there as well. So be sure to go there. And it's where we share stuff. We just kind of let our hair down, as the saying goes, and just kind of have some fun. So you can check us out on both places, Wargaming Recon Facebook page. Like it. Get your friends to like it. We want to get 2,000 likes, and then we'll do a big giveaway. And then we have the fan group, fan page as well. And of course, on Twitter, Wargaming Recon. And then you can listen to the podcast like everywhere. We're on all the things. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can listen to us, including our website, WargamingRecon.com. And then we have videos that come out. Adrian does a lot of our video work, and he's working on one right now, an unboxing video, I think, of some ESR stuff. And he did a video not long ago when we went to the Hobby Bunker Game Day that people seem to like. So we have that. That comes out on YouTube and goes on our Facebook page as well. So you can get videos and watch those and everything, which are kind of cool. So we hope you will check those out and like them. And that's what we have. So thank you very, very much for sticking with us, for listening to this episode of Wargaming Recon. And once more, I want to thank the Wargaming Company for sending us this review copy of the Killing Fields Terrain Classic Grasslands mat. And just want to say, make sure that you check out that mat. So remember, no matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how much time you're spending cuddling and breathing life into your Killing Field Terrain battle mat, you know that you have to, you need to keep on gaming.
Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other good shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew.
Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer.
Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by The Wargaming Company. Wish you could play a great Napoleonic wargame that's different from the same old stuff? Try ESR. ESR makes Napoleonic accessible, a complete system with you as the core commander. Start an army with ESR box sets or use your existing collection. It's meaty enough for diehards, but friendly for newcomers. Visit thewargamingcompany.com.
Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information.
Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 17th to the 19th, 2019 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.